Today Shiz Masechta Kedushin Daf Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, there was an individual that have a Komazbin Chumrei Pesyaisa. He would sell pieces of glass that were arranged around a string like a necklace. Asa Hu Yitasah, and there was a woman that came, Amrle, and she said to him, Havli chad shaycha, give me one strand, please. Amlei, so he said to her, Iyahivnalach, if I give this to you, b'kadishtus bay, will you become married to me? Amlei, hava mava. All she said was just give it to me. Amrav chama. So chama teaches us, kol hava mayava. When this type of wording was used, just give it to me. The halacha is ena lav klumhu. It's not considered a valid declaration, and she's not mekudeshes. Machlokes rishonim, why indeed she's not mekudeshes with this statement? So Tosfos explains that at the beginning she requested the strand of glass, and she requested it nothing to do with kedushin. So when this man introduced into this conversation that he wants to get married, we don't have any reason to believe, says Tosfos, that she wants to get married to this person, because there was no indication from the beginning of his conversation that she is interested in getting married to him. However, if he had asked her, there was no request on his part here that he wants to become a Kodeshes. But according to Tosfos, if instead of just saying this, he would have first asked her, let's get married, and she would have responded, and then she would have said this, then since it was preceded with him asking a question, then Tosfos says that Hava Miyava would be interpreted that she's agreeing to get marriage. To get married. The Rashba has a different approach. The Rashba says that the reason she's not Mekadeshes, because when she responded, she did not say the word yes. So says the Rashba, because she didn't say the word yes, if she was interested in truly getting married, when he made his statement, she should have said yes. And the fact that she didn't say yes is an indication, says the Rashba, that she's not interested in marrying. Turns out that according to the Rashba, even if he would have asked her, not like Tosfos, if he would have asked her, do you want to get married? And her response would have been, as the Gemara says, Hava Miyava, give it to me. She still would not be married. Because according to the Rashba, the issue here is not in the question. The issue is in the answer. And since the answer wasn't Hain, the answer wasn't a yes, that's an indication that she's not interested in getting married. What would have been if she would have been silent? So the Rashba says an incredible chiddush. The Rashba says that the entire issue here is because she said the wording mahavayava. And the Rashba says that the wording mahavayava is not an indication of getting married. But, says the Rashba, if she would have remained silent, so the Rashba suggests that remaining silent is halachically equivalent to saying yes. And since it's halachically equivalent to saying yes, then in that case, she would be mekadeshes. Continues the Gemara. Ahu gavra, there was an individual, davi koshasi chamra b'chanosa. He was drinking wine in a shop. Asa hi etasa, and a woman came along. Amrlah, havli chad kasa, please give me a cup of wine. Amrlah, iyevenalach, if I'll give it to you mekadeshli, will you become married? Amrlah, eshkuya meshkayin. So her response was, eshkuya meshkayin. And again, says Rav Chama, Amr Rav Chama, call eshkuya meshkayin. Anytime this type of a statement is made, the halacha is lav klumhu, it's not considered a valid marriage. Says the Kesef Mishnah, based on his reading of the Rambam, that unlike the Rashba, where the Rashba says that if she would remain silent, it's an indication that she's interested in getting married. The Kesef Mishnah says that if she just remains silent, we do not assume that she's agreeing to marry the man. And the Paiskim point out that in the case that we just learned, according to the Kesef Mishnah, verbal consent is required. However, they say, when we have a woman getting married, when we go to a wedding, we have the woman standing on the chuppah, all we have is that the chassan says, Harei et mukadesh asli. And we don't have, in any sense, the wife saying anything. And yet we know that that's considered a valid kedushin. Why does it not need, in a regular marriage, that the chassan should say something? And over here, the halacha requires that she should respond in the affirmative. So one difference is by regular marriage, the chassan, as we know, says, Harei et mekudesh asli. By using the words Harei et mekudesh asli, that's a much stronger wording. And since it's a much stronger wording, that's why the halacha is the requirement that the wife should answer is not there. Another nafka mina is, in these gemaras that we're learning here, it's the wife, it was the woman who began the conversation. Since it's the woman who's beginning the conversation, that's why the halacha requires that she has to, that's why the halacha requires that if it's going to be a valid kedushin, according to the Kesef Mishnah, she has to be the one to say so. But in the cases that we're learning in by regular marriage, since she's not the one that began the conversation, then the halacha is that we don't need her response, and everybody will agree that the kedushin is a valid kedushin, even if she says nothing. Continues the Gemara, who gavra davakashasi shadi tamri medikla. There was a person who was throwing dates off a palm tree. Asahi etasup, and there was a woman that came and said, Amrle shadi li tarti, please give me two dates. Amrla, so please get for me two dates. Amrla, so she said to him, he said to her, if I will do this for you, will you become married to me? And she responded, just throw down the thing. So Rizid said, call Shadi Mishda, anytime such a wording is used, laugh, klumhu, it's meaningless. And of course, Tosfos points out, our Gemara today began with three different episodes that teach us the same halacha. And why is it? To teach us that both by eating, by drinking, and by other activities, in all situations, this is not an effective means of creating a kedusha. Ibailuhu asked the Gemara. We just learned that when she says, Hava miyava vashkuya ashkin, these are not words that indicate getting married. What's going to be the halacha if she would have only said it once? She would have said hav, she would have said ashki, she would have said shadi, mahu. What would be the halacha in those situations? Ravina, so Ravina holds that she's mukadeshes. Rav Sama Baraksa, Omar, Tana de Malka, I could swear. Tana de Malka means I could swear by the crown of the king. That's how certain I am of this pshat. Rabbeinu Chananel says that what he was meant to say, that even if the story that was happening was that he gave her a crown of a king, and all she said was have. So as we're learning, have is a better wording than have a yava. But his opinion is, Rabbi Simon Baraksa, even if the husband is giving her a crown of a king, the halacha is that it's not a valid kedushin. Enim kedushas, and says the Gemara of Hilchasa, and that is indeed the halacha, enim kedushas, that it's not a valid form of kedushin. Says the Gemara, now the Gemara summarizes what we've been learning in the previous shiurim, different cases that the Gemara brought up where we had a machlokes if it's a valid kedushin or not. On Dav Zayin Amabez, the Gemara quoted a machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef, where somebody gave a woman a garment made out of silk that they didn't know exactly its value. And the question is it a valid Kedushin or not? Rava held it is a Kedushin. Rabbi Yosef held it isn't a Kedushin. And the way the Gemara explained it is they're not aware of the real value that it can't be a Kedushin. Even though it's worth more than a even though it's certainly more worth more than a pruta, if they aren't aware of the value, that creates that it shouldn't be considered a valid Kedushin. Says the Gemara, but the halacha is actually, says the Gemara, like Rava. That whole shiroi, that when we have these linen clothing, loy tzarech shmoi, even if the woman is not aware of what the value is, the halacha is it's a valid kedusha. So Tosfos asks, why did the Gemara have to go out of its way to tell us that that's the halacha? Don't we have a rule throughout Shas? Whenever we have a machloikus, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is like Rava. And even if we don't say that, because there are opinions that say that we only say the halacha is like Rabbah in Masechta Baba Basra, still, why did the Gemara have to say the Hilchasa Shiroi Lo Tzricha Shuma? Shouldn't the Gemara have expressed itself that the halacha is like Rabbah, the way we just explained? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that if we would say that the halacha is like Rabbah, then we would think that by all cases, there's no need to know what the value of the object that's being given for Kedushin is. And that isn't necessarily the case, says Rabbeinu Tam. That's why the Gemara wanted to point out that something like shiroi, something like these silk clothing, suggests the Gemara, they knew what silk clothing, a woman basically has an idea what clothing cost. She may not know exactly what this particular dress cost, but she has a notion of what the clothing is worth. Since she has a notion of what the clothing is worth, that's why it's not. That's why the halacha is that by shiroi, even though the exact value is not known, it's a good kedushin. But when we speak about Tosfos says diamond stones, where a woman that has no idea what they're worth, she has no notion. There, even Rabbi would agree that you can't just marry her based on the fact that we know it's worth more than a pruta. The Rambam actually says that it depends if the object that's being used for the Kedushin is something that women enjoy. And says the Rambam, if it's something that women know are expensive and valuable and they want to have those types of items, even though they don't know the exact value and they know it's obviously, they're worth obviously more than a pruta, it's going to be a good Kedushin. And the nafka mina between Rabbeinu Tam and Rambam is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, this that we're passing, like we don't need to have the exact value, is limited to clothing, which, as we just explained, women have some idea what the clothing are worth, but not by stones. By the Rambam, the halacha is even by stones, but she knows it's a valuable piece of jewelry, which she would like to have. It's enough to create that you don't have to know the exact value. And therefore, Tosfos continues to say that the minig is, the custom is, that when we get married, we don't use a ring that has on it a stone. Because if it had a stone, we have to know the exact, the woman doesn't have the exact knowledge of the exact value of that stone. And therefore, she may think it's worth more when it's really not worth that much. And therefore, says the Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, says Tosfos, don't use a stone, use a plain ring. However, the Rosh says that there's no issue, even if you use a stone with a ring, because as long as you tell the woman that I did the evaluation and the stone is worth whatever he says it's worth, that will be enough. Or she says, I'm willing to take whatever the stone is worth, whatever this ring is worth, then it will be a valid kedushin. And Aruch HaShem says that that's why we know the minig is that under the chuppah, we take the ring that the chassan is going to use to mekadesh the kala, and we ask the edim if this ring is a shava pruta, that the kala should know that it's not, that she's getting married for certain with something which is shava pruta. And he brings that part of the reason why there's a minig that the kala covers her face, the kala's face is covered during the chuppah, is because the kala is declaring, I don't care what the ring that you're using is going to be worth. Now, what we're trying to prevent, says Aruch HaShem, that if the kala face was revealed and she saw the ring that's being used, she might say, she might think that this ring is more valuable than it really is. And then she can maybe have a claim, well, I thought that the ring that was being used was more valuable, and it's really not that valuable. What he's saying is, I don't know, whatever it is fine. But say to Paiskim that even though the kala has her face covered, and even though that covering of her face is essentially a declaration, I don't care, still the minig is that, as Taisa says, that we don't use a ring with a stone in it. Taisa gives another explanation why the Gemara here had to paskin like Rabba, even though, as we mentioned a few moments ago, whenever we have according to most opinions, wherever we have a machloikus Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, because in that previous shurim we learned that Rabbi Yosef brought a number of proofs to support his opinion, and therefore maybe over here that should be a raya that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. That's why we had to say that. That's why the Gemara had to say it explicitly. Moreover, Taisa says the reason why it wasn't said explicitly halacha k'rabba, because Rabbi said that if the person said I'm being mekadesh with this, and he said it's valuable, but he didn't identify a value, that's where halacha is, that we don't have to do an assessment. But if he says it's worth a certain amount, there Rabbi says, well, you have to make sure what he said is accurate. But that isn't halacha. Taisa says, the Gemara is going to teach us that under all circumstances, an evaluation is not necessary. And therefore, in order to understand what the halacha is, in order to understand that the halacha is that an assessment, an evaluation is never necessary, since an assessment is never necessary, that's why the Gemara said the halacha lo tzricha shuma. Continues the Gemara, the hilchasa, the halacha is like Rabbi Lezer, who on daf chesam and aleph said that if somebody told a woman, hiskachli b'mona, be mekadesh to meet with a mona, which is 100 dinar, as we learned yesterday, and he gave her one dinar, the halacha is that she's mekudeshes with that one dinar, and just the husband now has the obligation to pay up the rest, and we don't say that the kedushin is, we wait with the kedushin until he's paid up. And also says the Gemara, v'ilchus k'rava Amram Nachman, the halacha that Rava Amram Nachman taught us, that if somebody was mekadesh a woman with, he says, I'm giving you a mana, and he only gave her a mashkin, that the halacha is mana ein kan, mashkin ein kan, and it will not be considered a valid marriage. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, that Isha miskadeshes b'shtar. So the Gemara begins to discuss kedusha shtar. Tana ban b'shtar keitzad. What is the way kedusha shtar operate? Says the Gemara, kosov lo nayar al cheres. He wrote on a piece of paper or on a piece of earthenware, avkish em b'shava pruta, even though these instruments on which it was written are not shava pruta, bitcha mekudeshesli, bitcha muresesli, bitcha lila into, and all these cases, the halacha is harezim mekudeshes, the halacha is mekudeshes. The Rashba points out that although the Gemara just mentioned, the Brisa just mentioned, just bitcha mekudeshesli, bitcha muresesli, that the Brisa is really not complete, because the Rashba says we have to write the name of the husband, and the name of the wife and a date, because he says, just like we learned in Masechta Gittin, that all of these details are essential to the validity of the get. Same thing by shtar has to be, by shtar kedushin, all of these details have to be filled in. The Ritva says not like that. Ritva says the fact that our Gemara omitted the requirement to write all of these details in is a clear proof that shtar kedushin do not need all of these details. And in fact, he says that this rule that we learned so much in Masechta Gittin is because Sefer Karsa, a get, is a much different type of an instrument than a shtar kedushin. And by shtar get, which the get itself is what creates the divorce, has to have all of these details. A shtar kedushin doesn't have to have it. I saw a very interesting opinion of the Tosfos Ri Hazokin. He says that the husband's name is essential to be in the shtar kedushin. The wife's name doesn't have to be. The Tosfos also asks that here the Gemara is saying that you could write a shtar kedushin on a piece of cheres, on a piece of earthenware. He asks that the Gemara in Masechta Ksubos Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph teaches us that you can't write a shtar on a piece of cheres. So explains the Rabbeinu Tam, going back to a concept that we've learned so many times in Masechta Gittin, the Machloikus or Belozer Rameir, is Eide Chesima Karti or Eide Masira Karti. Are those that sign the get, Rameir's opinion, make the get valid, or is it those that see the giving over the get, the transmission of the get? And we learned that according to Belozer, Eide Masira Karti, and just the Edom who could say that they saw the get being given over is enough. And the same thing by Kedushin. It's the giving of the Kedushin, the giving of the Shtar Kedushin, that is the issue. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference that it was on a get. The Rashba says, to answer this question, he says there are two different types of Nayar. There's two different types of Cheres. There's Cheres that could be to be manipulated, you could erase it and you'll never be able to tell. And that type of a cheres is what the Gemara Masechta Ksubos says, you can't do a kedushin. On this type of cheres, where it can't be tampered with, that's what our Gemara says you can do. That's where our Gemara says you can write on that, the shtar kedushin. Ask the Gemara, our Bryce is saying that the husband is the one that is the one that writes the shtar. So the husband, if we look in the transaction of a marriage, the husband is the one who's buying the wife, and we're learning here that the husband is the one that writes the shtar kedushin. Maskler of Zeir Bamamo, halay dama shtar l'shtar zvinay. This is not the way normally a sale of transaction works. Hasam, when somebody sells something, meicha kaisvalay, the seller writes to the buyer, Sade Mechuralach, that I'm selling you my field. And Hacha, we find that the Baal, who is the one that's buying the husband, buying the wife, because we keep on speaking about a Kedushin as of an act of Kinyan, he's the one that writes Bitcha Mekudeshesli. How is that acceptable? Answers the Gemara, Amarava, Hasa Minyana Dekra, when it comes to a Shtar Mechira, we follow what the Pasuk told us to do. For Hachem and Yonah the Kroh, and here we follow what the Pasuk tells us to do. Kosom, when the Torah speaks about selling a property, Siv, the Pasuk says, Umocha Mechuzasai. So who is the prevalent party in the sale of property? But Meicha Tala Rachmana, the Torah connects it to the person who's selling. Hachor, when we speak about Kedushin, the Torah Kedusha says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. And therefore, since the Torah says Yikach Ish Isha, Baal Tala Rachmana, it's the husband. And as I saw, the Ramban explains this Gemara's Teretz, that by Kedushin, the Torah says Kisikach. What the Torah means is that the husband is taking the wife, not that the wife is taking herself to the husband. So in other words, says the Ramban, that what the Torah is saying is that if we look at a marriage, even though the husband is the buyer and the wife is, so to speak, the seller, she's not the seller in the traditional sense. She's just allowing herself to be bought. And therefore, it's not the same as in all other types of shtari mechira. And that's why the halacha is that you don't, that the husband writes to get the shtar kedushin. Hasanami asked the Gemara by Mechir Ksiv Sodas Bekesef Yiknu. So the Torah is focusing on the buyer when we speak about the shtar mechira. Answers the Gemara, Karibay, that Pasuk in Yirmiyah should be read, Sodas Bekesef Yaknu. The Sodas will be sold for money. And if we read the Pasuk that way, so then the Pasuk is actually focusing on the seller. Ask the Gemara, my tama karisa by Yaknu. So we've taken the word of the Pasuk in Yirmiyah and we've changed what we thought its pronunciation. And we're saying that the wording of the Pasuk is not Yiknu, but rather Yaknu. My tama karisa by Yaknu. Why have we done this? Bishov, the ksiva machim chuzasai. In other words, we've had two psukim in our shir today. We have the pasuk machim chuzasai that teaches us that when we speak about a sale, the focus is on the seller. And if the pasuk were to be read soda bekasiv yiknu, then the focus is on the buyer, which would we create a contradiction. By saying that the word should be pronounced Yaknu, we've been able to work out the two psukim. So says the Gemara, by Kedushin, instead of saying the word Kiyikach, and that's why we say it must be that the husband is the one that writes the Shtar Kedushin, ask the Gemara, why don't we say Kribe Kiyakach, that the father is the one that's giving the daughter to the chassan. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, as biti nasati l'shazer. In other words, what the Gemara is asking, we don't want to have psukim that contradict each other. And the way we avoid the problem of psukim contradicting each other is by having, since there are no nekudas in the Torah, what we do is we change the pronunciation to make the psukim consistent. So says the Gemara. The Torah, when it speaks about a father marrying off the daughter, says the words, as biti nosati l'shazeh, clearly focusing on the wife's side, which we said she is the one that's, the, so to speak, the seller. But the problem was that the Torah says, kisikach, which focuses on the man. So ask the Gemara, let's think about the pronunciation. And if we think about the pronunciation, we'll say that the way to pronounce it is not kisikach, but rather pronounce it as kisakach. And then for the it will always be focused on the woman's side. It will always be focused on the woman's side. The woman should be the one to write the shtar. And we will also gain that the two psukim are consistent with each other. Answers the Gemara, El Amar Rava, teaches us Rava, Hilchos Ninhu. All of these halachas are how a shtar should be written, whether it's a get, whether it's a shtar kedushin, are really halachal mosh mesinai. Vas mechina rabbana akroi. So Rashi seems to say that all of the halachas of the way shtaris and the different circumstances that shtaris are written are all halachas mosh mesinai. Tosfos, Devar Maskil Hilchasa, asks a question. If everything that we're learning here is halacha l'mosh m'sinai, going back to the Gemara, asked Tosfos on Daf Heyom and Aleph, where the Gemara wanted to know, how do we know that a shtar is an effective means to make a kedushin? So the Gemara said, because we have the hekesh of a yotz of a haisa. Asked Tosfos, why do we have to have that pasuk, that hekesh of a yotz of a haisa? Why don't we just say halacha l'mosh m'sinai, that a shtar is effective? So Tosfos says that when the Gemara uses the words hilchos ninhu, it's not the way we normally explain hilchos ninhu. The way we normally explain hilchos ninhu is halacha l'mosh m'sinai. Here, the definition is, it's Hilchas Medina, that this is the way that there is a minig, that the way shtaros are written, and that's the minig that we always follow. And Rabbi Chanan explains, what does the mean? So just because that's the way people do it, makes it halachically valid. So Rabbi Chanan explains that once something, and this is an important concept in Kinyonim, Rabbi Chanan teaches us, that whenever this is the way Kinyonim are done, then the halacha is, that becomes an, even though it isn't grounded in a pasuk in the Torah, but once this is the way people behave, that becomes a acceptable means of making a kinyan, even though it's not what the Torah says. The Dvar Avram says that what Tosfos means, even though Tosfos says Hilchos Ninu, doesn't mean Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. What it does mean is that this was the minig, this was the custom that was followed for many, many generations. And since this is the custom that's been followed for so many generations, it must be that this is the right way to do it. V'bay Seima, a different explanation. Why that the Torah, that the one who writes the shtar is the one who the Torah says is the primary actor in the kinyan. And therefore, when we're selling something, the Torah says the seller of the property is the primary actor, and he's the one that should write the shtar mechira. The pasuk says sodas because of yiknu, which is, seems to be an indication that it's the buyer who should write the shtar. Says the mahasa namik seva ekach asefa mikna. What happened over there was that Yirmiyahu bought the property from Hanamel, and it pasuk says that Yirmiyahu, the buyer, took this document from Hanamel, who was the seller. So it doesn't say that Yirmiyahu etain a sefer mikna, that Yirmiyahu gave the document. Yirmiyahu, the buyer, took the document. So the question that we had was that the pasuk of sodas because of yiknu, that pasuk seems to indicate that the buyer is the one that writes the shtar. But if we continue reading the pasuk clearly indicates that it was the seller who wrote the shtar, Hanamel, and Yirmiyahu, the buyer, took it from him. By Kedushin, where the Torah, as we said, says, Kiikach Ish Isha, so the husband is the primary actor in this event, and therefore he's the one that's right to shtar. Vama Rava Omer Avnachem, Kosel of Nair Al-Acheres, he wrote on a piece of paper on Acheres, Abishem B'Shev Pruta, even though they don't have these pieces of paper, aren't worth a pruta. They wrote bitcha mukadeshesli, bitcha muresesli, bitcha lilu into ben ayde avia, whether the father accepted the shtar on her behalf, they and they atzma, whether the woman herself accepted the shtar mukadeshes. As long as bidata shalav, as long as this was done with the father's consent, and also for hu shloi bagra. The halach, she didn't become a begeris. Because once she becomes a begeris, once the girl becomes 12 and a half years old, then the father is not relevant to this entire transaction. The Rishonim discuss, who are we speaking about in this Gemara? Oktana or Nara? So the Ramban says that the Gemara here is speaking both about a Nara and a Ktana. But Rutva says that we're not speaking about a Ktana, because only by a Nara is there an option that she should at least take it if the father consents. By a Ktana, it's completely the father. The girl is not able to take the Kedushin because she's a Ktana. Kosovlo, continues the Gemara. Kosovlo, somebody wrote to his wife, Alanaya Al-Kheris, Afapi, Shem B'Shav Prut Harei Mekudeshesli, Harei At Lila Intu, Harei At Muresesli, Bekudeshes, Bein Aydei Avia, Bein Aydei Atzma, as long as Midata, as long as the father had her consent, why is her consent necessary? As we just mentioned, Usha Bagra. Once she is begaris, her consent is absolutely necessary, and without her consent, it wouldn't be valid. Continues the Gemara by Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Shtar Erisin. The Shtar Erisin that we've been discussing in our Shir, Erisin and Kedushin, as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, are actually words that are interchangeable. Shalai l'shma, but it was not written for this woman. And as we learned Masechta Gittin, very, very extensively, that a get being written l'shma is absolutely essential to the validity of the get. What's going to be the halacha by shtar kedushin? Do we say that the Torah says so we learn from Havayis Litzis Makshinen. We compare a shtar kedushin to a shtar erisin. Ma yitzia beinan to shtar gerishin. Shtar erisin to shtar get. Ma yitzia, just like when we speak of get, we've learned beinan l'shma. So the halacha will be af havaya by shtar kedushin beinan l'shma. Adama havayis ladadi makshinen. We'd rather compare different forms of making a shtar kedushin. Ma avay the kesef. When we do kedushin with kesef, loy be'inan l'shma. We don't need that money should have been minted l'shem kedushin. Af avay the shtar, loy be'inan l'shma. The halacha is that doesn't have to be done l'shma. So the way the Achronim explain the Gemara is that the Gemara is trying really to understand if what a shtar kedushin and kesef kedushin are accomplished, are they identical or are they not identical? If we'll say that they really accomplish the same, so then the halacha will be that whatever is valid by kesef kedushin should be valid by shtar kedushin. But if we're going to say that they work in very different ways, so then just because it's going to be okay by kesef kedushin doesn't mean it's going to be valid by shtar kedushin. Bas the bayo hod the pashta havayel etzin makshinan. We compare to do this to one another. We prefer to compare a shtar kedushin to shtar gerushin. Since, as we've been learning, the Yotzeva Haisa is the way we learn that Shtar Kedushin is effective, since that's the way we learn that Shtar Kedushin is effective, they have to be indeed similar. There's a question how far this goes. For example, we learned in Masechta Gittin that a get that's written by Mechubar, if a get was written in something connected to the ground, it's not a valid get. Will the same then be by shtar kedushin? That if shtar kedushin was written, the mechubal karka would be possible. This seems actually to be a stira in the Rajba. In one place, the Rajba seems to say that a shtar kedushin by mechubar is possible. In another place, he says it's kosher. And the way I saw that to resolve the Rajba's seeming contradiction is that there's two ways of understanding a document that was written by Mechubar. One is that it was written while it was still Mechubar, but when it was given, it was no longer attached. And the other way is that not only is it written when it was Mechubar, but it was given that way. So the Rajba says that if it's given while it's still Mechubar, then it's lacking in the Nesina. And therefore, the halacha is that both by shtar kedushin and a shtar gerushin, it would be invalid. But if it was written when it was mechubar and then given when it was no longer mechubar, by get there's a special halacha of sefer, and since there's a special halacha of sefer, it wouldn't be a good get. By kedushin, since when the shtar is actually being given, it's no longer mechubar, the fact that it was mechubar at an earlier point doesn't make a difference. Itmar, kosfer l'shma, if the get was written, the shtar, kedushin, was written l'shma for this woman. However, v'shloi medata, when it was written, the woman had not yet consented to be getting married. Or, as the Rishonim point out, if the girl is a ketana, and you need her father's consent, and her father had not yet consented. Rava Ravina Amri Mekudeshes, that it's still going to be a valid shtar kedushin. Rapapa Rav Shavya Amri, Eina Mekudeshes. Amar Rapapa, Eimet Hamadet Hu, Eimet Hamadet Hu. I'm going to explain Rav and Ravina's position, and I'm also going to explain my position. The pasuk that we've been learning, and that pasuk is Makash Havayel Yetziah. The Torah has been connecting Shtar Kedushin and Shtar Gerushin. My Yetziah, just like when I speak about a get, as long as the get was written l'shma, midaraisa shloim data, the fact that we don't have her consent is immaterial. Af havaya, so too by shtar kedushin l'shma, as long as it was written for her, even though it was written shloim data without her consent, it's going to be a valid shtar. Ve'metam didi, and I'm now going to explain my position. V'yotzav ha'isa makash havayel yetziah. My Yetziah being in Das Hamakna, as we've been explaining, the husband is the one who divorces the wife. And even though we don't need the wife's consent, we certainly need that the husband knows what he's doing, agreeing to doing it. Afavaya being in Das Hamakna, the woman, so to speak, as we've been learning in our Shia particularly today, is the seller. She's selling herself to her husband, so you need her to consent. Of course, the Rishonim point out, it doesn't mean that we only need her consent. We don't need his consent. Of course, we need his consent as well. Meisvei asked the Gemara, "Ein kaisim shtar reisav and nisuin ella mishtar shneim." My love, doesn't this mean shtar reisav and nisuin mamish? So, isn't this clearly an indication that the shtar is not valid unless she consented before it was written? Says the Gemara, "Loi, that's not the shtar that's being referred to in this brisa." The shtar that's being referred to in this brisa is something that's known as shtari psikta. Shtari psikta are documents that the two sides would write what they're obligating to each to as their children are getting married. And the Gemara explains, "Could Rav Gidl Amarav, Damar Rav Gidl Amarav, come out to Nois Labincha?" One somebody says, "How much are you going to be helping out your son?" And he says, "Kach v'kach." And then they ask, "Labitcha, how much are you going to be giving for your daughter?" And he says, "Kach v'kach." Vim de v'kitshu. And they had this agreement. They get married based on the agreement. Kanu, they both sides become obligated, even though they didn't make a kinyan. Even though normally, as we always learn, for something to be halachically obligatory, you need a kinyan. Here, a kinyan is not necessary. Why? Because hein dvarim anikna b'amira. Here, the fact that they're anxious to get married and they're prepared to get married, that's enough to create a kinyan, even though they didn't have a formal kinyan. And Rabbi Chanan in the Kei B'Tshurim gives a beautiful explanation as to why, even though in the rest of the Torah, a kinyan is always required, here, kinyan is not required. Explains Rabbi Chanan, what is the reason that actually we always need to have a kinyan? What does that kinyan represent? Says Rabbi Chanan, what a kinyan means is gemiras das. It shows that they're serious, that this is something that they're committed to. He says, when we have the two sides here sitting and agreeing what each side is going to do for their children, and then it consummates with a kedushin, that is the biggest demonstration of gemiras das. And since that's the greatest demonstration of gemiras das, there's no need for a kinyan. We already have what a kinyan accomplishes. We have this gemiras das. Tosfos Divrei Maskil, Hain, however, points out that we don't, under all circumstances, say this halacha. He quotes the Rashbam that only when they got married right away, as the Gemara seems to indicate, after they made this agreement, that's when it's obligatory. If they didn't get married right away, then it doesn't. A kinyan would be required. Moreover, Rabbeinu Tam says that this is only when a father, first time he's marrying off a daughter, when she's getting married for the first time, that's when we say this halacha. Another halacha that Tosfos says that this hein dvar ma'nikn b'amira is only when it's the father who's making this deal, not any other family members. I saw here the Gemara says hein dvarim hanikn b'amira. That's why the Pnei Menachem used to say that when a couple gets engaged, it's called a vart. Vart means what they said. Why is it called a vart? He says, "Hein hein dvarim nikne b'mira," that since what happens by vart is when they made the arrangements, and was saying that the amira of this is very strong. It takes the place of a kinyan. That's why it's called a vart. And I saw that the Gemara says, Chazal teach us that Ba'am Yom Kodim Tzirus L'Vlad, Bas Ploini L'Ploini, there's a declaration from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this will be the Shidduch. So that's why when we have a Vart, we're going back to the original saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kaviyachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol said about this couple, that this couple will get married. So that Vart, that statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when they were being born already, that vart is now coming to fruition. There are many discussions in the Paiskim what will be the halacha if the two sides agree to something to do for their children, and then one of the sides wasn't able to fulfill the obligation. We're learning now, hein hein dvarim niknu b'amira, is there any way for them to get out of the obligation? If the chassan and the kala see that their parents, for example, are not able to fulfill what they were able to do, what they said they're going to do, if the chassan and kala are willing to forgive their parents for the obligation, would that be a valid mechila? Or once they undertook this, they can't back out? Says the Gemara Manolon. We learned, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, that one of the ways a Kedushin could be effective is with Bia. Ask the Gemara Manolon, from where do we know that? Halacha, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Avuha, Amar Rav Yochanan, Dama Kro, Ki Matzah Ish Shoichav M'isha B'ulas Baal, Melamed, Shenas Le'Baal Ayidei Bila. You become a husband through an act of Bia. Amar Le'Rav Zeru Le'Rav Avav, Amar Le'Rav Shlokash Rav Yochanan, Kura Zu Shoshana Rabbi, and is what Rebbe taught us, Ubala, Melamed Shabia, Nikdas Rabia, that B is effective. Why do you need a different pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Ima Hasam, if we only had the pasuk of Kikach Ish Ish Ubala Hava Mina, Adam Kaddish, first has to be Kedushi Kesev, Vahadabal, and then Bila. Kamash Malan, Bula Spal teaches us that Bia alone, or Kesef alone, are adequate to effect a Kedushin. Maskla Rabba Bamamel, Imke Nara Marasa, when the Torah speaks about, and if you're going to say that Kesef and Bia would be required, and Kesef alone would be inadequate, the Torah speaks about a Nara Marasa, Dama Rachmana, the Torah says, a unique halacha, that a Nara Marasa who is Mezana is Chayv Skila. But how would that ever be possible? Heich Mishkachsla, Ida Kaddish V'adabal, it was saying the Kedusha means Kesef and Bia, so she's a Bula. So she's not a basula. And this halacha of Nara Marasa only speaks to a basula. Vidagish Leibol, so then she's not Nara Marasa. Answers the Gemara, Amru Rabbana Kameh Dabaya, Mishkach Lok Dibala Arish Leik Adarka. That the Aris had Kedusha Kesef and Bia, but the Bia was Leik Adarka. And therefore, she's still considered a basula. Says the Gemara, Amalhu Abaya, Atkan Leplig Rabbi Rabbanon, we're going to have a machlokes regarding Bish like the Darka Ella Ba'achar. If somebody had relations with a woman, Shloik Darka, how does the halacha look at that? Ava Baal, if it was the husband that had relations with his wife, Shloik Darka, the Rahakal and Baala Shloik Darka, Sabula. Answers the Mar Mahi. Says the Mar, where do we have this machlokes? The Tanya. Baala Asara Noshim. If 10 men had relations with a Nara Marasa, but they were all Shloik Darka, and therefore she's technically a Dairi Psula. They're all Chayv Skila. Rebbe says, Oymani, Harisha B'Skila, the first one is Chayv Skila, the Kula and the rest are Bechenik. So even though the first one came Shloik Darka, he says that's still enough to make it that she should be still, that she's considered a Bu'ula. But no matter how we learn it, if Kedusha Kesef would require bia afterwards, how could, by the husband, how would we ever have a case of Namarasa? Answers the Gemara that the case would be Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Bishkachsla, Kigon Shekitcha Bishtar, where the Kedushin was done with a shtar, even though we're saying now that Kesef required, that even though we're learning now that Kesef requires bia, shtar would certainly not require bia. Hoyel Gomer Moitzi, since a shtar, a get by itself, learns, it completes the marriage, terminates the marriage, Machnes, it also could do it. And that's why she could be Kanara Marasa, that's a full-fledged Besula. Why would she be considered a full-fledged Besula? Because her husband did the Kedushin with a shtar, and she still is Besula. The Gemara used interesting wording here. Rebbe said, Rebbe Oimer, Oimer Ani. What does the wording Rebbe Oimer Ani mean? So, Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Beis Oitzer explains that the Gemara at the end of the Sechta Soita says, Mishreis Rebbe Batla Anova. Rebbe was the model, the example of modesty. So Rebbe said, Oimer Ani, I say this, but that doesn't mean that anybody else says it the same way. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a famous Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Hill says, Omar Lov al Hill Zokin Kshay Yosamak Basimcha Gedoy Besh Besheva Mesech the Sukkah Dafnun Gimel Amar Aleph. Im Ani Kan, if I'm here, Hako Kan, Vim Ein Ani Kan, if I'm not here, Mi Kan. So it's most interesting to understand this. Hillel, who's always the example of modesty, says, Im Ani Kan. So the Baal Shem explains that the Ani doesn't mean about himself. Hillel wasn't speaking about himself. What Hillel was saying, Im Ani Kan, if the Shechina's with me, then I'm somebody. Vim Ein Ani Kan, but if I don't have the Shechina with me, Mi Kan. And that's what Rebbe was saying here as well. Oimer Ani, I'm saying what I'm saying, but the only reason I'm comfortable and able to say what I say is because Ani, I have the Shechina with me, and that's why I'm comfortable and being able to say what I say.